Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 911, Ask Farnoosh with special co-host Allison Task, a replay.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to So Money. It's Farnoosh. Ask Farnoosh Friday. I'm going to shake things up a little bit today and broadcast a replay from last May when I got the chance to share the mic with my good friend, Allison Task, who is a life and career coach. She and I go all the way back to our days working at Yahoo, where she hosted a cooking show and I had a financial show. Some of you might remember, called Financially Fit. Fast forward, Allison now has a robust coaching practice, and she is a best-selling author of the book Personal Revolution. It hit number one on Amazon when it came out in many categories last year. On the show today, we have questions about how to have a more abundant mindset, questions about switching careers. Allison is a pro at giving advice on career changes. And whether or not you should start a blog or even a podcast. You've got your day job, but you're looking for another way to get out there. We've got some thoughts for you. Here we go. Here is Ask Farnoosh and Allison Task. Allison, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Farnoosh. I have to give you props right back. You helped me name the book. You helped me with my subheading. I was crowdsourcing it a couple months ago. You jumped right in with, you got to think about this, this, and this. And it may just have made all the difference.
Oh, well, look, it came from a place of love. I so adore you. I admire you. And I was so excited to know that you were going to do this book. You've written many books and that this was a project that you wanted to completely take the lead on as a self-published author, which I, again, have to give you a lot of props for, not only because you finished it, it's a big undertaking. You assembled the team, you finished it, but you skyrocketed to number one on Amazon. Really brief, because we don't have so much time, but I'm too curious. I can't not ask you this question. What were some of the advantages to self-publishing and how did you master the Amazon, the craziness that is Amazon to get to the number one ranking there?
Okay, so advantages of self-publishing and then mastering Amazon. Well, yeah. Dara,
in 5 seconds,
strike me, and not. I don't want to say I master. So the advantages to self-publishing is this is my third and a half book. I've published books for other people, so this is the third book on my own name, probably my sixth book. During some of those books, I had strong feelings of, I just wish we could do this. And I would get outvoted by other people who had more expertise and had published more. This was my book. I get to have the final call. And some of those final calls I made feel really good. You were mentioning you love the way the book feels. You love the interior. You love the cover, right? Those are my calls. So it's exciting to move into that, taking more ownership role when you self-publish. I had learned and I was able to execute. So that was exciting. As for Amazon, I hired a partner. I hired the wonderful team from Book in a Box. They are rolling out a new PR, you know, just if you've self-published with another company or on your own, they will help you with PR. I'm one of their first just PR clients. The team is killing it. They told me what I needed to do. And quite frankly, they sent me a spreadsheet and they said, figure out who you know who'd be interested in buying the book. And I spent a couple months putting together my list of advocates, which, by the way, is in my book in terms of identifying your network and expanding your network. So in a real sort of circle jerk sort of way, I was taking my own advice for my own book to help it succeed. So there you go.
Book in a Box. I know that's I've heard them before. Yep. And I'm happy to know that they're doing good work. Now, your coaching practice. Why did you want to write a book at this point anyway?
Well, that's a super question. So I've been coaching for 12 years. And at this point, because I've been coaching for a while, my price point has gone up and up. And I've seen people come to me and say, you're really awesome. I wish I could work with you. I just can't, right? And I don't want to, I want to encourage them to be financially responsible. So I wanted to give people another option, right? I wanted to give the people who wanted coaching and resonated with me an opportunity to have a virtual coaching experience. So after 12 years, I started to see what was really working for my clients, what helped them move off the mark, what helped them make significant changes. And I wanted to codify that in a book so that you could almost, you know, if I was to see a client for a 3-month coaching engagement, use this book like you're seeing a coach. In fact, at every chapter, the end of every chapter, I have a prep sheet. Before you can go on to the next chapter, complete these actions you committed to taking. So I wanted to provide that coaching experience, both the tools and the accountability that I offer in my office at a more accessible price point.
That's smart. That's really smart. And now I have to ask you about time maximization, because you're a mom of four, you run this coaching practice, and I do think you do get sleep. I think that's what you're rested some nights, some days. And I know you outsource a lot. So like, don't tell me you outsource for this answer, because we know that's a given. What is something that you do to help you get everything done? Especially this book was an add-on to your already busy life. Yeah. So how did you, what was like one thing that you did to make sure that more or less that everything got done?
Everything got done. Well, one really important thing happened. I started thinking about the book in August, and then I committed to writing it in September, October, and it's now May and it's out, right? So that's a pretty short time frame. By self-publishing standards, I took forever, but I needed the book to be right, so I took the time it needed. In July, my husband took a different job. He gave up his, you know, daily commute to New York City, and this is all in the book, by the way, for a once-a-month commute to LA, but he now is local. We both have offices about a mile from our home, right? Because you got to get out of the house to work if you've got babies. But he, now that he is home, is able to do the morning shift. I do the afternoon shift because our kids are in school from 9 to 3. He does every morning. He takes them to school. He does breakfast. I get up 7. I'm at my desk at 7:15. I come home and do the 3 to 5 or the 3 to 6 shift. Then he puts the kids to bed at night. We both are working, I'd say 3/4 time, 7/8 time. I have a big hole in the middle of my afternoon. And if people get sick or whatever, I'm on it. But he does the morning and the night. And he really did that to help me have the time to write it.
So what I'm hearing is you have a partner in crime who's as committed as you are.
You bet. You bet. Without him here, right? If I was taking on he is the breadwinner in our family. And if I was taking on, you know, my quote unquote fair share as the non-breadwinner of the home work, never would have happened. I needed him to go above and beyond to help me do this.
Right. And what does it mean to go above and beyond? It means presence. It's not just having the money, right? So you have a partner who might be financially supporting the family, but sometimes you need him or her to also be physically there. Case in point, yesterday we had a last minute situation where we didn't have childcare. We learned early in the morning. And of course, like that's like the worst time to find out you don't have childcare. Yeah. It's like as you're about morning. To like get in the shower to get your day started.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of re-strategize the day. I had to cancel a lot of appointments. You know, my husband is too nice sometimes. And he's like, oh, I'll just not work today. I'm like, well, how's that going to look for you at work? You know, he's like, well, I don't really, do I have another choice? I'm like, yes, I'll push back my appointments till after 3 o'clock. If you want to work from now until 3, and then I will pick up and I'll work from 3 to 6 or whatever. I don't have the crazy day. I sort of feel, and I was thinking about this yesterday, like as mom and as breadwinner, sometimes I feel like I have to care more about other people than they care about themselves sometimes, you know? Because I was like, this is going to come back to haunt us if Tim is not at work, you know, today and tomorrow, and who knows for how long this childcare issue is going, not going to resolve itself. Anyway, so thank you for sharing that. And I know Aaron well, and he's a great dad and a great partner.
Yeah. And if I may share one other thing, on the weekends, you asked me about sleep. I'm hardcore about sleep. Aaron and I, we are not in bed any later than 10. Usually at like 9, 9:30, we're wrapping things up so we can get our full 8 hours. Everyone's got blackout shades, especially this time of year with the spring birds and sunlight before the trees leaf in. And weekends, I'm offline. I don't bring my phone around with me. I'm just focused on my kids. So I try to be where I am.
Wow. Well, that explains why you never get back to me on a Sunday.
Sorry for this.
No, it's okay. And by the way, listeners, Allison has 4 children. And so ranging from ages now, 3 and a half?
Almost 4. She's the same as
your son. Right. Till like 14, 15?
Girl. Almost 17.
What? Didn't you just had her bat mitzvah?
I've got a 4-year-old, 2 5-year-old twins, and my stepdaughter is less than half a year away from becoming, 17.
What time is flying? Oh, no. Okay, before we let time completely go by, let's address our listeners' questions today. And I picked ones that were, in some cases, career-oriented because I know that's your jam. Mm-hmm. Or life strategy oriented. So Alicia wants to know how I have adopted an abundance mindset. She said that there was a particular episode she loved on the show where a guest, in fact, had a quote unquote, there's more where that came from mantra. And I remember that it was Brittany Castro, a certified financial professional. Brittany's great. And she said that was a real light bulb moment for me. So any tips for shifting into an abundance mindset around money?
Well, I was so happy to get this question because I literally talk about shifting to an abundance mindset in the book. There's a chapter called Frameworks That Elevate Your Thinking, and this is one of them. And I have a specific exercise because my book is all about taking action and doing exercises. The most important thing about an abundance mindset is to remember it's a mindset. And if it's the way your mind looks at things, it's 100% within your control. So how do we ask you the right questions to shift your mindset, right? If it's raining, you could say, oh my God, it's terrible that it's raining. Or I can ask you the right questions to make you really happy that it's raining. So how do you do that to yourself? So what I said was, what I would say to her is, what would it need to shift your thinking, right? Does she just have a lot of debt? And if she didn't have the debt, would that help her thinking? Okay, cool. So let's not look for the absence of something. Let's look for the presence of something else. On a scale of one, you know, on a scale of scarcity to abundance, where are you? Let's say she's a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. She's 3 more towards scarcity. So the question would be, how do we shift you to a 5? What would be the things you need to have to shift towards a 5? And then we can either go after having those things to incrementally move her towards it, or we could just talk about the framework, right? And how she could look more optimistically and less pessimistically. But remembering that this is your choice, right? Your attitude is your choice. How you show up for your life is your choice. Mm-hmm. So your mindset is your choice.
Beautifully said. And I will add to that that writing down what you are grateful for, doing a gratitude journal, you know, on the go once a day, it's a good reminder of what is working in your life, what you are grateful for. And like Allison was saying, will slowly but surely just move your mind to a happier, better, more positive thinking place. And Yeah. I mean, I've wrote about this for Oprah Magazine, just how gratitude can not only create an abundance mindset, but it can also help you save money because you aren't stuck on thinking about the things that you don't have and rather the things that you do have. And that just, you know, it's really, like you said, it's just about your choices that you make with how you perceive things and how you see things. So
yeah, Alicia, absolutely.
Thank you for listening, Alicia, and great question.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
So now Madison Ellison is wondering about a career shift. And here's her question. She says, I'm a recent college grad with a major in accounting and a minor in finance and economics. Good for you, Madison. That's amazing. I majored in finance in college too. Could never have done accounting. I would have flunked out of accounting. She says, I also love to write. And I've been thinking about starting a blog or even podcasting about money, but I feel like so many people are already doing it, and me included. She says, I don't know if it would just be a waste of time. I'd love to get your opinion on this. I don't think it would be a waste of time at all, as long as she's doing what she wants to do because she's super excited about it. She feels she's going to be able to contribute something unique. Look, podcasting seems crowded, maybe because you're a consumer of podcasts and there's only so much time in the day for you to listen to everything. But compared to blogs, it's minuscule. It's a minuscule fraction of blogs. There are like millions of blogs out there. There's thousands of podcasts. Just to put things in perspective. Now, every day there's a new podcast coming out. And yes, that's going to perhaps compete with something that already exists. But something that I've learned about anything that you start, you want to start something that you can see it through, that you're not just trying to do it to become successful in a month or in 6 months, but that in 3 years, you'll still be doing it and growing and enjoying it. So find your medium, whether that's podcasting or writing or an Instagram page with beautiful photos or YouTube, you know, whatever that is, start somewhere that you feel is your sort of where your best natural talents lie, that you feel is a great medium for you to express your opinions and your thoughts, to share and engage the way that you want to, and that you can really sustain it. Because what is ultimately going to be a measure of your success is not just how quickly you get to be successful, but how long you can sustain that momentum and build and build and build. It's great that she has this mindset. I love that she's kind of thinking about ways to leverage her creative desires. I relate a lot to Madison because I was a finance major in college, but really my heart was in media communications. You know, I was a theater junkie. I loved performing. I loved writing. And so how could I marry these two things? Mm-hmm. And here we are. It's possible.
You know, Farnoosh, I heard you saying two different things, right? Like, heck, try it and then sustain it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a podcast last year and I kind of said, let me give it a season. I'm going to give it 13 episodes and see what I think, right? So you might want to consider a pilot approach to this. Like, I'm going to pilot this blog for a certain amount of time. I mean, Farnoosh, from what I just heard you said, I think she might want to try a little video on Snapchat because that seems to be what's coming next. Like, blogs were 15 years ago. Podcasts, you know, picked up 5 years ago. So kind of, why don't you leap forward to thinking about what's next? And what's your bigger goal? Do you want to communicate? Mm. Like what's your purpose? Why do you want to do it? Do you want to do it because you want to play? That's cool. Have it as a hobby. It doesn't need to, you know, make money. But with things like this, I always encourage my clients to try it. Don't miss out on it. Number one, figure out what your bigger goal is. Do you want to have a media presence? Okay, cool. Then find maybe the next media so you could be a leader in a smaller pond, just like podcasts is smaller than blogging. What's coming next? Number one. Number two, what do you want it for? What's your actual goal with this? And Farnoosh, as you know, on the first page of the book, I say, what's your goal? Pick up a copy of my book, write this down. Let this book help you take this to the next place. This might not actually be the right thing. Podcasting or blogging might not be your thing, but communicating in an innovative medium may be. So let's use the book to figure it out. I totally agree with you about sustaining it, but she's not there yet, right? She's just trying. She's just playing with different media. So you might be take the next year to play in two different media and or three different media and pick one.
Yeah. And just to clarify, because I think you were right about Allison saying like experiment. So my intention in saying find the medium that you can try to sustain it is not so that you have to feel like you have to force it or you have to feel like I can't quit. Certainly you might arrive at a point where you're like, oh, this was not for me, or I'm not enjoying this anymore. And that's fine. But, you know, as you're thinking about what to pursue first, think about where would I potentially have the most fun and sort of also, you know, makes the most sense for me in terms of what I'm capable of doing. Like, I didn't start a video series. I started a podcast because I just couldn't imagine the production quality. I knew I wanted to do this every day. I can't do a video every day. I mean, I guess I could, but I would have a much crazier life and more people involved too. And I wanted to just kind of streamline it. So thinking about those things, I think is a great way to get a launch going and make sure that you are feeling fulfilled along the way. Okay. Zev has a question, which is P.S. one of the names of your twin boys. And when I saw this question, I was like, I don't even know what his question is, but we're going to answer it because his name is Zev. And Zev also asked this question on Instagram, where you guys know I love engaging. I'm constantly on Instagram now. I'm a little late to the party, but people have been direct messaging me there with their questions and I've been responding. And this is a question lifted from Instagram. Ellison, he says that he's currently thinking about switching careers from architecture to the tech world. There's so much that he can do in the tech space, and he specifically wants to work with software for 3D modeling. Very cool. He has 3 years of experience in architecture. So his question is about salary. Like, how does he measure his worth, his value, his contribution in this new field, given that, you know, he is making a transition and a pivot? He's got obviously some applicable skills, but doesn't have the necessary, like, sort of hands-on experience in the field. But it's also a new field. Like, who has 3D modeling experience? You know, I feel like certainly some people do, but a lot of people might be new to this. And so he's not alone, I suspect.
Yeah. So Zev has his 3 years of experience, and he's already talking about negotiating salary in a new field. And I would say, dude, long-term approach here. First of all, what do people make in this new field? What do people make in the first few years? What do people make in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Like, we got to take a real long-term approach, because you might take a salary hit now because you're completely restarting in a new industry, but you're taking a salary hit about 3 years. Like, that's a good gap. So let's say you make 40 an hour now and you go back to making 30 an hour. Okay, because in 5 years, you can make substantially more. So don't worry about the negotiation now. You just need to get a job in your new field,
right,
and then kill it. Deliver, over-deliver, be exceptional. The salary bumps will come with your performance. Right now, you just need to be invited into the party. So worry about getting that job before you worry about your short-term salary. It's the long-term game you need to play.
I like that. Long-term game. Allison, when your clients come to you for your coaching practice, what is usually the big problem? underlying, like, what's the underpinning big problem? I mean, many times they come to you at a crossroads, like they're struggling in various aspects of their lives, careers, but like, what is really the issue?
Well, that's a central question of coaching. Coaches believe the client has the answer to their questions. My job is to ask them interesting questions that get to their own deeper thoughts. The central problem is, for whatever reason, they have talked themselves out of what they know to be true. A career they want to have, a partner they want to have, a lifestyle they want to have. They come in saying, it's just not going to be possible. You want to talk about a mindset, right? So the central problem is a shift in mindset. And after that first session, I'm listening. I'm believing them. I'm thinking it's possible, because I've never heard anything said in my office that is not possible. And I mean, you know, my clients go on to teach at Harvard and start new companies and find new jobs in 2 months as, submarine engineers. Like, they do crazy things. They're performers and artists and writers and entrepreneurs. And so I haven't heard anything yet that I don't believe is possible. And I think they come because they want to know if they're totally crazy or if this might be a good idea. And in most cases, I just let them talk it through until they realize it is possible. They come for support and someone who believes in their vision as much as they do.
I love that. Okay. Mafam on Instagram says, oh, you're going to love this question, I think, because it's kind of in your wheelhouse with what you were doing in your past career. She's starting an artisanal food business. Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. She quit her job 6 months ago to focus on it. Her husband and she are living paycheck to paycheck because they're just kind of dependent on her husband's income stream at the moment. And she knows, she's heard, and she believes that in order to grow her business, she needs to, quote unquote, spend money to make money. Mm-hmm. So what are our thoughts on taking her business? Oh, sorry. So what are our thoughts on taking a business loan, because she's going to have to finance this, she doesn't have the cash, versus angel investors? She says, I don't like the idea of being dependent on others, but I'm beginning to see that I need some sort of investment to be able to grow and expand. I'm wary of taking on early stage investment, especially for like a small business.
Totally.
I just feel like, what else can she be doing that doesn't really, it's not really capital intensive, but but it's still progress and moving forward. So with respect to like the research and the networking and the framing of the business, that's all kind of the creative stuff and the planning stuff that doesn't really require like buying equipment or, you know, and these days, you know, you can hire for cheap, like someone to just put up like a website, but maybe she's not even there yet. So, I mean, I'm sure you've had similar questions come up in your practice where people want to start a business and they maybe are cash strapped. What do you suggest?
Well, that's a really important question. And I was cringing a little bit when I read it because I was like, she quit her job 6 months ago. Ooh, they're in a lot of pressure. And now she's really realizing she needs money. Mm-hmm. Like, ma fam, like, hang on, press pause a little bit. Like, let's reset. So what's the vision? What's the structure? What's the business plan? How much do you need to invest now? How much will you need to invest over the next few years? When do you expect to see a return? I have a lot of clients who come to me wanting to start businesses, and it's the first question I ask. How much are you ready to invest in the business? Well, I need the business to pay me. Then you're not starting a business. Because I don't think in the first year, most businesses have a return. When I started coaching, I gave away coaching sessions for free. Yes, I paid for an office. Yes, I had to get a logo and a website and all those big expenses to attract people to me. But you bet I gave it away for free because I had to start my business. And that was my model. So I'm a little concerned that she hasn't been working, or she's been starting this business for 6 months and is now realizing. So I would press pause and reset. I do have a client who did something like this and wanted to, you know, leave her waitressing job so that she could work on her company full time. And 6 months in, she realized she needed another 6 months of planning before she could really quit her day job. So she needed to shift to a less demanding day job, which she did. She found a lucrative day job teaching English as a second language to people in Asia. It worked. It was just as much as waitressing, but the timing was better and it wasn't as hard on her body because she was a singer. So is there something that you can do to earn a little money now to stem the tide? Like you, Farnoosh, let's avoid taking on investment. I'm a little concerned that this is already off to a shaky start without a strong plan. So I just want to push back on you. Get a little more planning, get a little more structure, figure out what's realistic for your business before you take on someone else's money.
Plus, if I were approached to invest in someone's business, let's say a family member or a friend or a colleague was like, hey, I'm starting this artisanal food business. Will you give me money? You better believe the first question I'm going to ask is how much skin in the game do you have? Like, you what have you put from your bank account and your assets into this? And, you know, what is this money going to be for to move the needle? And it better be a very specific ask. And so I think that, and I explained this to her on Instagram, like all that we talked about, you know, I'm a little concerned about this. It's a little too early to be asking for money. And investors want to know that you have yourself invested quite a bit before, because that's going to make them more confident that you're serious. And you know, yeah. So if you can find a job to that extent, that it's a job where you can at least work part-time, make some money to build a nest egg to put pour back into this business, I think will also give you just a more relaxed mindset around this. It sounds like she's working out of scarcity. You know, like she's, you know, it's like when you graduate from college and you have all these student loans. And so you just take the job because it's a job and it pays. And I feel like if you were to not have some money to play with, to throw at this business that's yours, and you're just, going to be quick and instead rather taking money from others, like you'll just take the money and you're going to have to pay that back. I mean, you don't have to, but you know, there's that risk too, that you're going to take money too quickly, too hastily without a plan. And then you're going to spend it and then you can't return it. And those are relationships that, you know, will be burned as a result. So there's a lot of risk in taking money when you're not ready and not really able to create an ROI sooner than later. Investors want their money back sooner than later. But, you know, all this said, I really love where she's moving and the shift. And it's really brave that she quit her job. That takes a lot of gusto. So Mahfam, thank you for sharing this part of your journey with us. And we hope that, you know, we've been encouraging. All right, Allison, you know, I was skimming through your book. I have to say, I haven't finished it yet because I just got it yesterday. And, you know, I've always been under the understanding that when it comes to life coaching versus psychiatry or psychology, there's not a lot of emphasis on your past. Like, it's very forward moving. It's very action driven. And correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but there is a section in your book that's about reflecting on your past. So how do you do that in a way that doesn't kind of keep you in the past?
Great question. Wow. Awesome. I've never been asked that before, Farnoosh. That's really cool. So what I like to say, the difference between therapy and coaching is therapy gets you to baseline. If things aren't quite right or something's not working for you, therapy gets you to a healthier place, a better the place you want to be. Coaching takes you from baseline to stronger place, a more ambitious place, a goal. I sometimes see clients who are also seeing therapists, and that's great because they can provide tune-ups and lots of advantages for mental health. But coaching is like, you've got work to do. You've spent a lot of money to hire a coach to help you with some big ambition that you have. So you have to be at baseline. Now, in terms of looking backwards, I absolutely look backwards to look forwards because I spent a lot of time looking for patterns of success, right? What did you love doing when you were 10? How did you while away your hours before anyone had phones, assuming you're of a certain age? What did you like to dress up as? What sports did you play? I'm not asking about childhood trauma. Nope. I'm asking about childhood success. So I'm bringing to the top of your mind your positive experiences so that you can see opportunity. Tell me about awards you won in middle school. Tell me about people who made you feel really good in high school, right? That's your future network. Right. I just sold my book. I can't tell you how many of my high school friends are coming out of the woodwork to support it. Right. Yes. So when you want to make a big change in life, that's who you go back to. Those very people. You don't have to start fresh. You look at the people you've accumulated, the people that you've had positive, strong, enduring relationships with. So I do a lot of back looking because that's your foundation. And that's what we build on when you want to make significant change.
Yes. And your inspiration. What were you wanting to do when you were 10? What were you doing? Like, what was your passion at 10 years old?
I can't believe you're asking me this. Farnoosh, you're so good. My best toy when I was 10 was my typewriter. And aww. I just wanted to write stories. Oh, yeah. I didn't play with dolls. I just wanted to, you know, I was like the narrator of the plays. I just wanted to write stories, tell stories.
Wow. I wanted to be a waitress. Not really, but I did. I loved like serving people, you know, whether that was like when my relatives would come into town and they'd sleep over and they'd wake up in the morning and I'd wake up even earlier and make them breakfast. And I would reorganize the living room like it was a restaurant. And when they'd come down, I'd have a host stand and I'd be like, "Welcome to Chez Farnoosh." And I would serve them breakfast and they were like, "You're crazy."
Well, I don't know, right? I'm a career coach. I see the tie because I've been to your holiday parties and events and media mixers. You're still the host. You're just not making the food anymore.
And I host a podcast. Boom.
You host a podcast. You host events. You don't want to be a waitress. You wanted to be a consummate host. Yeah. And that's exactly what you are.
A consummate host. I'm writing that down. Well, thanks for this coaching lesson. Thanks for this free coaching lesson. Thanks for helping us help people's lives on this podcast.
Thank you, Farnoosh. It is a pleasure to speak with you every time. So I appreciate you having me on.
Host
producing the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.